John Williams is the man.
You know, the sense chills through me
every time
I hear it.
Seriously, to this day.
So I'm like, pew, 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 pew.
40 years later, and I still, whenever, yeah, you know, I don't react the same way you do, but still, there's
a
reaction involved.
The Death Star coming in after the...
Yes, because the Death Star is a dogfighting
weapon. Not the Death Star, the Star Destroyer,
sorry. Yeah, you're so just... Are you awake yet?
No.
You're not awake yet.
I'm not awake.
Good morning, Billy.
Good morning. It was so cool of him to remake that song by Miko.
I'm telling you.
Miko.
That's it, exactly. They were the ones that did the disco version, right?
Yes.
Yes. I had that, actually. I had that on a little 45.
You don't remember Miko, Tanya?
No.
Here,
I'm much younger than you.
Hang on. Oh, Billy's got...
I'm going to throw that shot
So while
out
Billy
now.
Is finding that,
you and me.
I'm going to say.
Sherry and I are the youngest ones in the studio today because Dolly is not here.
Yes, or Monk.
There it is. There
oh,
it is.
Oh, okay. Yep, now I do remember.
Pew, pew, pew.
This was like I would hear it like the roller rink.
Yes.
I rank this right up there with Bill Murray's lounge singer version.
Yes.
Star Wars.
Nothing but Star Wars.
Oh, we're going off the rails and we're not even 2 minutes in.
Can I make a request?
Yes, go ahead.
Can we not a book club Hardware Wars?
Oh my God, absolutely.
Hardware Wars?
I remember seeing that on HBO in between movies.
Yes. It's how long is it? It's like only like a couple
of
minutes
long.
It's a trailer for the movie that should never have been made.
Can we talk 40 minutes about that?
We could talk 40 minutes about anything.
It'll be a short story club.
There you go. Oh, my God.
Not a short story club.
So, Happy New Year, everybody.
You too, Chris.
How you doing, Billy?
I'm all right.
And producer Sherry's in the studio today. She ventured down the frozen thruway. So, happy to have you here with us. And Miss Tanya.
Yes, I am here.
Hello, Miss Tanya.
Hello. I'm not awake, but...
Yeah. Most of the gang is off and about.
Today is Zach's birthday.
Today is Zach's birthday, so a big happy birthday
happy
to
birthday.
Big Zach. He's enjoying the day. Rob is off crafting new puns for the new year.
He needs some new ones.
He's going to bring out some of the old favorites still.
Yeah. Well, have you seen all the Facebook puns he's been throwing out and things that?
Unfortunately, I realized they're not all original.
Of course they're not original.
I thought they were.
No.
So he actually goes out and finds this stuff?
Yes, and memorizes it.
I'm just so disappointed.
And then uses it. He like has a golf bag of them.
He knows exactly when to throw it out there, though.
Right. And a big shout out to our Dolly, who's not feeling well right
She's
now.
She's under the weather.
She's a little under the weather, but Ed's taking good care of her, or at least he better be, or
it's
he's going to answer to me.
It's been cycling through the Monkey
it has been.
Podcast group.
Yeah. I mean,
stay away from me, all of you.
You have not gotten it? I thought you had it for a while.
I have not gotten it.
Oh, well.
Me neither.
Okay, so you two stay over there.
I had the raspy voice for a couple days, but I have not been down and out like everyone else has.
What was it, Hillywood that I went through with almost like I was fighting off laryngitis the entire interview, and then I went and DM'd for 5 hours after that.
Oh, because it was
and I lost
the
my voice.
Interview with Jennifer Stuller that we were supposed to be doing. That was the day that you were out of kind of commission.
Oh, God,
you had been whatever.
It was brutal.
When we not the book club Princess Bride, poor Sybil.
Sybil was out.
Sybil was out.
So the plague has been raging through the team.
And somehow it came from Pittsburgh.
I'm not blaming Sybil.
No, like somehow between Rochester and Pittsburgh.
No,
and
we didn't say it was Sybil's fault.
No, it's just plaguing everyone.
Oh, I see.
There's two different things.
Okay.
And then we've got Chris out with
back spasms.
We have a DL. We have a disabled list right now. This
and
is amazing.
Do.
And Alana is chasing people on her roller derby skates.
She's
right?
doing roller derby assessments.
Yes.
Good for her. Monkey wench. Go to it.
So is she
let's
gonna,
get
like run over people today.
Probably.
What
let's get to some business. We'll do the business stuff first. We got our usual sponsor shout outs to Knox Craft Drinks and Comfort Foods in the Village
Comfort
Gate Mall.
Comfort Foods and Craft Cocktails.
Them too.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't correct me when I'm wrong. Wait, yes, I do want you. Never mind. And in the same building as them, Selena's, the best Mexican food in all of Rochester. I'm actually going to start
Tuesdays.
Saying, is it Taco Tuesday?
Well, yesterday would have been Taco Tuesday when people hear this.
Yes, when people hear this, it'll have been Taco Tuesday.
Wednesday, I know they do discounts for teachers and service people.
Nice.
And then every...
Now, service people like, you know, folks
firefighters, police officers,
gotcha.
That type of stuff. And I believe every Sunday in the month of January, the kids eat free under the age of 10 or 12. I'm not certain.
Okay. Well, give Selena's a call if you're interested in figuring
an adult
that out.
Purchase.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Some other shout outs are perennial sponsors, First Print Comics, Mike, Dave, and the boys. And Dave, their unofficial mascot, Dave's dog, Crumb. Crumb is awesome. I see pictures of Crumb every so often on Facebook, and I'm like, that dog is just so freaking cool. All right, so, and carrying on, as we usually do, shout-outs to our big sponsors, The Great Escape Room.
Woohoo!
And Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey, who are bringing in Caitlin Blackwood. The young Amelia Pond will be coming to join us at FC3 in 2018.
Maybe we can take Caitlin to do the library at The Great Escape Room.
That'd be fun.
And see if she
we'll
can
see if
help
she's interested.
That Friday
It depends
night.
On when she's coming into town, I think.
I know they had a dinner's planned for Thursday night, and I know she was going to be in town Friday morning for
right.
our media
and
run.
See, and then that's just, it's way too busy for us, because we're in mode at that point on Fridays. Patreon shout-outs. Love Patreon shout-outs. If you're interested in giving
sneak
us a little
peeks.
Bit of help, sneak peeks, getting guest announcements ahead of time, seeing the up-and-coming director's blog, which I will start writing somewhere eventually this week.
You mean I wrote my first little blog thing before you did?
Yes, you did, Tanya. And start getting sneak peeks into the behind-the-scenes of Monkey Business and so on. Just a mere $1 a month will get you into the game.
$12 a year.
And then there's other levels going up that get you more access and more
lots of stuff.
But you could go to www.patreon.com.
And when we reach certain levels, we're going to do really mean things to Chris.
Oh, I know.
Yay!
That's what I'm hearing 2018 is going to be the year of misadventures for me.
Is it going to be like one of those ice bucket challenges? Because
ice bucket challenge, fire spinning, polar plunging.
Somebody
was threatening me with skydiving at one point. Well, that's going to be a challenge.
I think the other Chris is willing to take your spot.
He'll take that one for me?
He would take that hit.
He's going to be my stunt double for me? Because I have a thing about heights, and I have a hard time looking at my own shoes sometimes. It's really...
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. So anyway, at www.patreon.com/FC3ROC, join the party. Shout outs to Sarah Marvin, who is our event staff coordinator and the manager of the Great Escape Room and wonderful human being overall. Radical Geek is our newest Patreon member. Thank you and welcome aboard. Love to have you along with us. Hope we can entertain you. Hey, we got some 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Woohoo! Yay.
And the first one is to Yay. 372-920-247-573 to the millionth power. There was a lot of numbers there. They said, I'm biased, but it's a fantastic podcast. We appreciate that. We don't know who it is, but we appreciate it nonetheless.
It sounds like it's starting the 867-5309 type thing. Have you seen that weather forecast?
I did see that one, yes.
I posted it.
And then Gammer51 says, excellent, wonderful show, just keeps getting better, and we really appreciate the heads up. We are starting to get some good feedback. People are saying, hey, you know, try this, try that.
Finding us.
It's great. They are finding us, and they're finding us without realizing it's us, apparently, because my other shout-out is to the beloved Sheila Sims. And Sheila apparently found our podcast somewhere along the line, became a regular listener, and then realized that she actually knew Sherry. She was like, wait a minute, who else has a daughter named Monk?
And so, she has been a friend of mine through the Renaissance Fair for...
So would I have met her?
Very possibly.
Okay.
It's very possible. I'll have to show you some pictures. Mm-hmm. She belly danced.
Okay.
She was one of the perennial belly dancers at the fair. And she and her mom were regular patrons. And miss her dearly. She moved down south to be closer to her daughter and her grandson.
But now she can hear you once a week.
She can hear me.
And we can talk to her. Hi, Sheila. Because apparently, you know, she fell into the same trap that everybody else that listens to us falls into. They start talking back to the podcast.
She did. She said that.
And that's awesome.
That
I love
that. Her coworkers think she's crazy because she sits there and talks back to the podcast. And I told her, that's how I started.
And yes. It's no different than watching a football game and you're yelling at the TV.
Exactly.
You're interacting.
I'm sorry, Sheila, but the podcast producer slot's already been taken. so you're just going to have to keep talking to us. And we would love to talk back. So whenever you want to...
Drop us a line.
Drop us a line and drop us a note on our Facebook or whatever. Or email Sherry. And
become
if there's
a
ever
Patreon
a topic...
and then you can do the topic.
Seriously, become a Patreon. Or if you ever have a topic, just let us know. Anyway, upcoming events. Today is the 10th of January is the day this particular podcast is released. It is my bouncing baby boy's birthday. So happy birthday, Ian. And tomorrow night... at 7 o'clock at the Webster AMC, we will be doing what I think is going to become an annual thing with the amount of outpouring we've gotten
this,
is a viewing of The Princess Bride.
Awesome.
And it's sold out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is phenomenal. It's a sold.
And I didn't even buy my tickets because I thought Pauly was supposed to be off Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Which means I would have to get up at 2:15 in the morning.
Oh, dear God.
So I didn't get any, and now Pauly changed his day off. I'm going to get some. Yay. It's sold out.
They're sold out. You know what? We'll talk to Sarah and see if there's a couple lying around that she can get her hands on.
I'll see what Susan and I are up to.
But yeah.
We might be able to get you in.
It's funny. After the book club, I wound up watching it on DVD
nice.
That weekend.
Nice.
So.
Billy, you can sit on Chris's lap.
Ooh. Ooh, baby.
Which Chris? Can I just go from Chris to Chris?
Yes.
The other Chris isn't going to be here.
We're not couch potatoes. We're Chris potatoes. Wait, what? So, tomorrow night, January 11th, 7 o'clock in the evening, Princess Bride at the Webster AMC. If you have tickets, we are looking forward to hanging out with you. If you don't have tickets, don't worry. We're going to be doing other movie nights throughout the course of the year. And because of the outpouring of response to this one, we probably will do Princess Bride. I would say it'll be an annual thing for us. We'll do once a year. We'll do a Princess Bride showing somewhere. Just because of the amount of energy and enthusiasm for that. So anyway, with that being said, our other shout out and other upcoming event is the Winter FC3 MiniCon, which is coming up in February 10th and 11th at the Grease Ridge Center Mall. If you were at the MiniCon this past fall in September, it's going to be basically the same thing.
I walked away with so many great comic books from there.
Isn't that great?
I bought lots of stuff.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. And, you know, and it was great because the other stores that were around us had some great had a great weekend, too. So we'll probably be in the same spot in the mall close to the movie theater. It'll be 10 tonight on Friday, on the 10th, and 10 to 6 on the 11th. It is a free event, so you don't have to buy a ticket to attend. Just walk on by and say hello, and the FC3 folks will be at our own table. So feel free to stop by. We're going to have a guest. We're not sure who yet, but it's going to look like it's probably a wrestling person.
Ooh. Most likely.
We will have our gaming area, and we will have vendors. We'll have our costume contest and a cosplay parade. All of the usual stuff you would see at a FC3, but in a shrunken, smaller form.
And Billy, if on Saturday it's like 10 degrees, give one of us a shout out, and we will come and get you so you don't have to walk from your house.
It's good exercise.
But it's cold.
As long as it's not snowing. It's snow I hate. Cold I can deal with. I hate snow.
Especially if it's cold like today.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Seriously. No. Just call us. We'll have somebody come get you. Don't worry about that. So we're going to start off our podcast. We're moving away
there
from...
There was a hint.
Yes, I know. I caught that earlier.
Yeah, it was a hint.
I did caught that earlier. And now, so we've gone from announcements and business to...
Our real reason for being here?
No, the secondary reason for being here. Excuse me. But it was you that had come up with this, hadn't it? Was it Sherry? The everyday?
Yes.
It was
actually a group between myself and Anjanette King. We were bouncing some ideas around.
Angie. We love you, Angie.
Love you, Angie. most days.
except for she was the one that wanted the snow.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We will not forgive her for that. but we were bouncing around ideas. She had come up with an idea for FC3, for the actual con, about trying to include first responders. And we both, when Angie and I talk, we get like excited. We kind of build each other up, and sometimes it spirals out of control. But this one we thought.
Are you sure you're not related to Chris?
Angie is my enabler. But everybody is Chris. Chris is enabler.
Hi.
So we came up with this idea, and it came from a phrase that I'm sure everyone's heard, and it's not all heroes wear capes. We talk a lot about superheroes. We talk a lot about these extraordinary, unusual people, but we have people we know in our everyday lives who do extraordinary things. And we're talking about first responders. We're talking about firemen, police, EMTs, people who put their lives on the line so that we can be protected. So if you follow our Facebook, if you follow our Patreon, you'll know we have put this out there and we're requesting people. Please send us who needs a shout out.
Yep. And we have one today, don't we?
We do have one.
We have one. Yay. And Billy, would you take us into who's our first everyday hero that we're going to do a shout out to?
Can I shout out to my brother?
That's the
person.
There you go.
Okay, yay. My brother Tom is a retired Rochester City fireman, was a fireman for almost 30 years.
Wow.
and just retired last winter, says he'll never miss putting out a fire in the winter ever again.
Especially with this past weekend. Yeah.
I can't imagine. Water, the hoses freeze to the ground.
And it's
miserable. And I bowl in a bowling league that's the Rochester Firefighters Bowling League with him. So I still know many firemen, and they work hard, and they're great guys.
They do.
So.
They are great. So.
Rochester City Firemen, thank you, and my brother Tom, thank you.
Tom Dottori.
Yep.
Is our first everyday hero.
Yay.
All right. Very cool. So that's all the business we have. So now we can go on to the regular topic of the week.
He is also a hero of mine. He bought me my first comic books.
Oh, there
See?
You go.
So without
there.
Tom, we wouldn't be here today.
Exactly.
There you go.
Or you guys would be here, but
well,
yeah, probably we wouldn't.
Well, no,
be.
You,
we wouldn't
be in you this, might yeah. be here, but we yeah. wouldn't.
We wouldn't be in the studio.
We wouldn't know each other, something like that.
Which would suck.
Yeah.
All right.
Have contacted us.
So a big thank you to Tom.
Thank you.
Now, our opening music was kind of a hint of where we're going today. We're doing our
to a galaxy far, far, far away.
Far, far away. To a long time ago. And we're going to have our little talk about The Last Jedi. Star Wars The Last Jedi.
I didn't do my hair for today.
Yeah,
I
you didn't. You don't have it in the Danishes.
No.
You guys had a little get together. A bunch of the FC3 folks got together and saw the movie together. Correct?
Yes, we did.
I couldn't make that. I saw it separately.
Okay.
So I'm curious.
I saw it separately also.
Oh, did you?
I went that Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious how the get together went. Did you do a little post?
We did, and that video never made it to the public, Dolly. So
she's under the weather.
I know, but
Dolly,
So I'm curious how,
Dolly.
Along with your reactions to the movie, just your sort of hanging out together. Reaction.
Yeah, well, I think it was a lot of fun to have a lot of our personalities together in the same room. And
just wait until tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, though, if you're going to go to the Pittsford Cinema, which is becoming kind of like
get
our
there
rec
early.
Room, they're awesome. They got the comfy chairs and everything, but you got to get there early because Zach, Laura, and I were sitting in the dead front row.
And you had better seats than Chris, Lana, and I.
Yeah, because you guys were in the dead front row in the far right section, so you were seeing everything fairly distorted, weren't
it
you?
It was very distorted.
I was dead front row IMAX for Man of Steel.
Oh, my gosh. So...
Plus, the movie sucked.
And I think what would be challenging is because they have the recliner seats, but they don't have the reserved seating.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Tinseltown and Eastview, you have the... You pick your seats when you purchase the tickets.
And that's, you know...
That's where I saw it.
It was just a learning experience to make sure that at... you know, next time I go to Pittsford Cinema to make sure I get there early for the big movies. That's all. Mm-hmm. But it's a great theater. Great theater. Very comfy. The staff there is amazing, and we had a good time hanging out there.
Good. Yeah. And Tanya, you went to Tinseltown, as did I.
Yeah.
First time I've been to Tinseltown since they redid it with the reserve seating. Are the railings a little too high? Does it cut off the bottom of the screen for you guys?
No, it does not. Or,
no, really? You didn't even notice
it. I didn't. Maybe I'm short.
I don't know. We're about the same height, but it didn't cut off anything for me.
It seemed to annoy me. Things annoying.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No. And then I went and resaw Last Jedi just Saturday night, the 5th.
Okay.
And we're recording. No, the 6th.
Revenge of the 5th?
Revenge of the 5th. January 6th, I resaw Last Jedi because I knew that we were going to be podcasting this because it had been about 3 weeks since I'd seen it.
Okay.
So
we had a refresher. But I will tell you, my first reaction, the first time I saw it with the gang when we were at Pittsford, the lights go up, and I looked immediately over at Laura, who's sitting next to me, and Zach was on my other side. And I looked immediately at Laura, and I'm like, "What did I just watch? What the hell just happened?" It was like so that was that final sequence. And let me just say this right now:
there's going to be spoilers.
If by the time you have not seen Last Jedi, if you have not seen Last by now. Then stop this podcast right now because this
go
is going to be a
it.
Go watch it because this podcast is going to be a spoiler festival. Okay, so I'm saying it
We've
right
given
now.
Given you advance warning.
Yes.
Spoilers.
We are going to be talking about. We are going to be talking about what we saw and what happened in this movie. So you have been duly warned. All right.
Spoilers.
So that finally, Sherry.
She's like kind of like that haunted voice and whatever.
I just spent 2 weeks with my nieces, and I'm channeling Quinn at the moment.
Okay. So we're no longer going to go, spoiler alert, we're going to be
spoilers.
Anyway.
Okay. Can you channel River Song?
There it is. I knew that was coming.
I can play that game.
If I ever cosplay,
mm-hmm.
that's who I want to cosplay. I love River.
Okay, all right,
wrong.
Back to wrong fandom.
And people accuse me of taking everybody off the rails. What the hell?
We've learned from the best.
Oh, thank you.
And I know, and it's my job to keep us on the rails.
It was Billy.
Yeah, it was Billy.
Yeah, sure. My fault, I'm sorry.
All right, so...
Spoilers. There,
so we got that out of the way. Right from the get-go, right at the opening, you know, you see that blurb, you see... you know, from a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And
I just want to start cheering.
Oh, my God. Seriously, right off the bat.
Well, here's what happened with me. Susan and I actually saw Christmas Day.
Okay.
Now, Christmas Eve is when my family gets together to celebrate and hang out together and stuff. And we got home at midnight, and I couldn't get to sleep.
You were thinking about the movie?
I was all night.
I'm going to go see Star Wars.
I was waiting for Santa to come. I don't know. and then I came in here and did a radio show for 3 hours.
Okay.
So get out of here at noon, go to the movie, and the second I sit down in the comfy chair...
You fell asleep.
Oh, no.
I missed... I couldn't tell you what happened between the time I sat in the chair until... I didn't see a preview. I didn't see.
You got a half hour nap.
Yeah. I didn't see people telling them to turn their cell phones off. I didn't see talking M&Ms. I just. Then I saw the movie. And
there you go.
They don't do the. They didn't do the talking M&Ms or anything at the Tinseltown showing or the popcorn or the. I don't remember seeing the Coca-Cola thing.
So I go to Susan. Did I miss any good previews? She goes, I don't know. I think she fell asleep too.
That's amazing. But you got a half hour nap in then. That was good.
Because the previews were 25 minutes.
Oh, God. It was brutal.
I was thrilled when we went to go see it that the previews were that long because we were late.
There's that.
And
there's
I that. Always want to see the previews.
Mm-hmm.
So
me too.
I always want to get to the movies.
There's a lot of good upcoming
and
movies
so
this year.
I'm so frustrated if I get there too late.
I was hoping to see the Avengers preview. And that was one of them. Black Panther.
That was one of them.
Oh, that's probably the movie I'm most looking forward to right now.
Black Panther?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. All right, so.
That's okay. You can find the trailers online.
John Williams fanfare.
Not Pitch Perfect 3?
Oh, God.
I saw that preview too.
No.
What?
I want to see it.
I do too.
Rental.
We'll go.
It's a rental.
I saw it.
All right. So here we are. And the music starts. And you get those chills because we're diehard fans. And the very first scene, it just sets the whole tone. Because I think one of the first things that caught my attention as I was thinking about this movie in hindsight was this was the first Star Wars that was genuinely had funny bits.
It was not
just dry, like flippant one-liners and stuff like that.
They were all throughout it.
There was like bits in this movie, you know. And Poe Dameron screwing with General Hux right off the beginning.
I'm holding
for General Hux.
Okay, I'm still here.
Can you hear me? It's like, oh my God, that's every cell phone conversation in America right now, you know. And then finally the admiral goes, I think he's tooling with you, sir. You think so? Nicely pointed out. So right from the get-go, you know you're in a different experience at this point. And then the whole opening sequence. I mean, you can nitpick an armchair quarterback the whole movie at this point. But
can I tell you, I felt so bad for BB-8 in that scene
because
he was sticking his finger in the dike.
He was the boy who was trying to stick his finger in the dike to hold the water back,
and then jams his whole head into
the side of the X-wing.
I'm like, oh, that poor little droid. It just goes back to R2 getting zapped so many movies ago. But I'm like. Oh, that poor little droid.
Mm-hmm.
I have more empathy for the droid than I do with the other people in there. But I did like it when he was shooting the coins out of his slot.
At the casino planet?
Yeah. I tell you, that's one cheeky little droid.
He is. He's right. It's like R2 would have been proud of him, really.
I tell you, R2 has gotten a little cheekier, too.
R2 is a cranky old man at this point.
Man.
I think let's just say it.
He got Luke.
He had one good scene, R2. Because I really do see that R2-D2 and C-3PO, they're being phased out.
Just like the rest of the kids.
Well, exactly. The whole original, you know, the Golden Trio is almost completely out of the movie at this point.
It's a one-third now.
Yeah. Well, by the end of the movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But will he, is he completely gone or is he going to do the whole
I don't know.
Ben Kenobi kind of thing throughout the third movie?
There'll probably be Ben Kenobi type thing throughout the third movie.
Yeah. So... But you see a lot less of 3PO, you see a lot less of R2-D2, and okay, all well and good. But R2's one scene in The Falcon with Luke, mm-hmm. that was awesome.
Yes.
I mean, and it was so funny to see Mark Hamill playing off of him. And getting Mark Hamill that chance to just kind of act and be Luke for mm-hmm. a while, you know, and just be comfortably Luke. And it's a sacred planet. Watch your language. You know,
can I just make one observation about
Mark Hamill?
You can
make lots of observations.
I've always liked Mark Hamill. Loved him in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Liked him. Really was not very impressed mm-hmm. with him. So impressed with him in this movie.
He
was so good in this movie.
Okay.
Really.
What was the difference, like in previous Star Wars movies to this one?
I know this is a big bone of contention with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people really did not like Luke's arc mm-hmm. in this. I thought it was perfect.
I did too.
Yeah.
Really, he's a curmudgeon.
Yes, and why wouldn't he be?
He was the ideal. What happens to most idealists? Think in the first Star Wars movie, he's this idealistic, naive boy. Mm-hmm. What happens to most idealists? They become jaded old curmudgeons because, you know, the idealism gets
real
ground
life
down.
Happens.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it was nice to see
him. He was a legend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's not an easy thing to be.
No.
It's really not.
I'm a legend in my own mind.
You're a legend in my mind, too.
Oh,
Tony.
Yes. Thank you.
But it was
Shut up, Chris.
It was nice to be able to see Mark Hamill have real dialogue. That's my only problem with the original trilogy, is that the dialogue's very stilted. And I'm sure, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I'm really stepping out on a limb by saying that.
Harrison Ford would often tell the anecdote that he would go up to George Lucas and say, you can write this, but we can't say this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could tell a good story, but they just can't say the dialogue because it was just so
clunky.
Like,
Yeah. And especially in the first Star Wars film, Luke was
whiny as fuck.
Well, he was.
I was going to Tosche Station. Mm.
Well, he wasn't a real person. He was an idea and an ideal. He's mm-hmm. the wide-eyed farm boy who's going to save the universe. Mm-hmm. He was a real person, and I was so impressed with mm-hmm. how Mark Hamill handled that.
It was very natural.
Yes.
You know, there was
And he didn't necessarily agree with how Luke was written.
Right.
No.
That was.
He's come commented
around.
On that.
Yeah. He's come around quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But at first, no. He thought it was awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just want to, you know, for people who are like, well, Jedi, they stand and fight. They don't go running away and hiding.
Did you see what happened?
Did you not watch the previous movies?
Episodes 4, 5, and 6?
Didn't Yoda live in a swamp?
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
He put himself into exile because he failed.
Kenobi, yeah.
Ben Kenobi went to go into exile to keep an eye on Luke because he failed. It's kind of what the big Jedi Masters do when they realize something is screwed up. They disappear for a little while to get out of harm's way, as it were.
To not be on the front burner.
Leave it to the young Jedi Knights to go bounding around and saying, look, I'm right here. Hey, I'm going to save the world.
Yoda, Ben, and then Luke all came to the same conclusion. Uh-huh. I am too well known. People are always going to look to me to solve their problems.
Right.
I have to take myself out of the equation or people are just going to forever rely on the Jedi.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that dates back to the old Westerns where you got the old gunslinger that always had to defend himself
mm-hmm. yeah.
against the new up-and-coming gunslinger.
And that fits in perfectly with George Lucas's way of viewing Star Wars. Was originally supposed to be those Westerns, serials
and Seven Samurai.
Yep, those were his influences. So it fits in. So having Luke disappear to this ancient mm-hmm. planet to live at this temple quietly, alone, you know, ignored, that kind of fits right in.
Right.
So.
Well, didn't Luke had to go find the Jedi teacher on Dagobah.
Mm-hmm.
So now Rey is going to find the Jedi teacher on whatever.
Akto.
Is that what
Akto?
Akto.
Is that how it's pronounced?
A friend of mine asked me, did you see Star Wars? Yeah, which I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I didn't. I go, why? What didn't you like about it? He goes, it's just still the same old story. What, do you want him to sing and dance?
Yeah.
And that was the critique that my husband had. I mean, he's a diehard Star Wars fan, but I think right now he's jaded because they like, oh, they did that in episode 4. Oh, they did that in episode 5. Oh, that was in episode 3.
Yes, it's the same story, and they did it great.
Mm-hmm. So that was his whole thing. He's like, oh, been there, done that. I think some people want something more refreshing, something
new.
Well,
I think that's what they're building up to.
Right.
That's a thing.
I loved it. But
I've seen so many complaints online about it wasn't Star Wars. It was too different.
Oh, I know.
I mean, they couldn't please
everybody. It's ridiculous.
Everybody.
Well, I've said this in panels at FC3. I've said this in other talks. I've said this in other podcasts. I will say it again right now. And I even said it in the video that Dolly didn't put out. It
Ooh,
is
man.
Absolutely because
she's in timeout.
Because Star Wars is such a global cultural consciousness now. It is impossible, completely 100% impossible
everybody.
To make the perfect Star Wars movie because you have literally billions of opinions to please at this point. So you really just got to make the best story you can, and it will resonate with the masses. Now, so to have this, I mean, we also have the internet, which gives us, everybody gets an opinion now and gets to voice it in several locations repeatedly, as loudly as you want, with caps and everything. So, you know, negative reaction is always swift, like wildfire. So you have these two things coming together. Impossible to make a perfect Star Wars movie that will please everybody, and everybody's going to have an opinion. So what you're seeing is this tidal wave of negativity, but it doesn't take away from the fact that, yes, in my opinion, this was a really damn good movie. It had some twists and turns. Yes, it had a lot of familiarity to it. Yes, it had a lot of pieces that harken back to older stories and some of the books that were out, the extended universe and all that stuff. But it also had a couple of things that, like I said at the beginning of this segment, was, you know, we were standing there, and I just remember looking at Zach and Laura, at Sarah, at the gang, and just going, "What did I just watch?" My brain was mind blown. Like, wow, did that just freaking happen? That was amazing. So it has those moments that if you – and I really do think – I'm not a really good critic of movies because I am very prone to just simply, okay, this is stupid. I'm going to check my brain at the door and enjoy it then. It takes a lot for me to be really disappointed with a movie. There are movies I don't like, okay, and I will say it, but I tend to give a lot of movies, especially if they're in a genre that I enjoy, a really big margin of error. So – you know, this movie, the credits roll, and I'm standing there, I'm mind blown. And I enjoyed The Last Jedi a lot. Mm-hmm. I was looking forward to seeing it again, and I was happy when I did.
It's everything that I wanted the film to be.
Yeah, and you said that before. Yeah, that's awesome.
Seriously, it hit every single note for mm-hmm. me, especially Rey's parentage.
Yeah. Which I wonder, is that just...
I still think it's...
I still think there's a reveal waiting in the wings.
I don't want there to be.
No,
I don't want there to be.
I'm with you on that.
But I think they just played it as that's her fear that she's a nobody mm-hmm. and she wants to be part of somebody.
Yes.
She wants to...
But she says it. Her line is she wants to know her place in the world.
Right.
She wants to know there's a place in this thing. It's a line right out of the movie that she says.
And, I mean, being abandoned... I mean, mm-hmm. she was basically abandoned. She doesn't mm-hmm. know where she came from. And mm-hmm. just anybody that doesn't know their parentage, mm-hmm. they would want to know.
Which I'm fine with her finding out more. I don't want her to be a Skywalker. I don't want her to be a Solo. I don't want her to be a Kenobi. I don't want her to be part, because then it's just this one
right.
group of families
I think she's the light to Kylo's dark. She's the opposite.
Right.
She's on the, definitely, and they
well,
are.
And
like,
they're both a little touch of gray sometimes throughout the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I swear, I almost thought Kylo was going to
switch.
Become Ben again. I thought he was going to swing back to good guy. I really had that feeling.
Still a third movie. Come on.
You know what? In the third movie, I think she takes him down.
I think in the third movie, he's going to say, "Rey, I am your father."
Yeah.
No, I think he's a little too young for that.
Yeah. But.
Either that, or he turns at the last second, and because who's the big bad in the third movie now?
We
don't know.
Yes,
I don't see Rey. Well, I don't see Kylo Ren as a big bad.
I think he's going to be an excellent big bad.
As an actor,
right
as
now,
a character, I see him developing into the potential. Sure, but the
character
of Kylo
right now,
Ren, Ben
he's
Solo,
he's still a whiny little kid. That's having a temper tantrum
uh-huh.
because
yes.
and he's going to open fire.
Yes,
He open fires everything on Luke at the end because
uh-huh.
he is having a temper tantrum because he didn't get his own way.
There's
yes.
that.
Yes.
And
that. That's why I think he's going to be the big bad.
But you also
see his evolution, though, as well. You know, you see him when he's interacting with Rey, you see, the, you know, back and forth. You see this development. You see the emotions kind of like conflicted but developing. And then in the times where he's been in full combat, you see this entirely different animal. He is not a whiny teenager. Mm. You see him as a full-on predator. His stance, his bearing, the way he, there's no, oh, this isn't going my way. It's, let me figure this shit out, and now I'm going to knock somebody's head off. And, you know, and when he finally gets into it with Luke, face-to-face, well, face-to-hologram or projection, that was badass. That was bad. You know that you know something was weird though. I remember the first time I've seen the movie twice now. The first time I watched it, something didn't click in the something was weird about this.
Something was off.
Something was off because he'd been shaggy and gray and shaggy
he
and gray.
Was
now here he
younger,
was looking
young, more thinner.
Fit, yeah, Luke. Yeah,
he was fit.
And look at the
and the lightsaber was the original lightsaber,
right?
Which
had just
been
destroyed.
So, yeah. And then you notice he never once makes contact. In the actual exchanges that they have, he's always managing to whirl out of the way and duck and weave and dodge.
Oh yeah, especially the.
Oh yeah, the Matrix move.
Yeah,
the Matrix move was amazing.
I'm just like, you're like 70 some odd years old. How the hell can you do that even with the Force?
Yeah, seriously. But well, like, Yoda and Count Dooku.
Okay, come on.
Need I say more?
That's just going back to that episode that was just ridiculous to see Yoda bouncing all over the walls with Count Dooku. Come on.
But that's the thing about Yoda's a true Jedi Master is not going to just play with the Force whenever he wants to. He broke it out when he needed to. And that's so when I'm seeing Luke whirling around the battlefield against Rey, what?
To move rocks.
That's it. To move rocks.
To move rocks.
And things make things float. So you're like, wait, there's something not quite right, but you're watching him move, and he's and where in the interaction between at the end between Kylo and Luke, you know, he's got that predatory stance. He's like all leaning forward and aggressive, and he's holding his lightsaber straight out ahead of him, and Luke is like, just kind of standing just straight and calm. It's like the two different.
Well, it harkens back to Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan, that he just like put his lightsaber up and let Vader come and strike him down,
right?
Type thing. So I'm like, oh, he's just baiting him.
Yeah,
that's all Luke was doing was baiting.
Yeah, and he's not buying. He was buying people
time right.
in the caverns, in the mines to get out, and that's he knew exactly.
He was
doing, the same thing Ben did, is in essence.
Yep,
he was doing the same thing that Poe did in the beginning.
Right,
he was stalling.
Stalling. Yep. A lot of people stall in these movies. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stalling going
on. Which I think is great.
Yeah. Stalling tactics are wonderful.
Oh, they are fun. I've used them quite often at the D&D table.
Yeah. Mm. But
yeah,
Tanya.
We know.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think the fact that Kylo is a whiny teenager who doesn't have complete control over his emotions is what makes him even more frightening.
Yes.
He is completely unpredictable.
Right. You never know what he's going to do.
A theory that I've seen online is that he represents this whole neo-Nazi thing that we have going on now where it's, I mean,
more
the original
more and
one,
more.
It was very much, they were really based on Nazis. Okay. And that made them very rigid, very...
You were posting something about that yesterday.
But this one, Kylo is so much more unpredictable, which makes him even more frightening.
Right. More dangerous.
I mean, Snoke never scared me. I do not miss him. I'm like, good, just get rid of him.
Yeah, that was a very anticlimactic thing when they just basically gutted him.
Which I was fine with because I'm just like, yeah, just get rid of him.
Uh-huh.
Kylo frightens me more because of that unpredictability, because you don't know what he's going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see in that scene when he does cut down Snoke that there's a lot of emotions going through his eyes, and he's realizing, oh, he was the one that bridged it. No, that was mine and Rey's power type thing. You could see he's like, no, you think that you were doing it type thing. But
I think that Kylo's character arc is going to come down to him wanting to belong and never feeling like he did. I mean, mom and dad were always
off doing stuff.
He didn't. I mean, for a brief time, he was Luke's only student. But when Luke started bringing in others, that's when he started looking out for someone else. That's what Snoke managed to get his hook in with him with.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute he saw that, no, I'm not number one anymore with this, then Snoke was disposable.
Right.
And so that's when he, okay, Ray's got to be the one who's going to be the one just that's just for me. I don't think it was a romantic thing at all. Just a, here's somebody who's going to, who's got this connection to me and they have to be just for me. Mm-hmm. And when she said no, mm-hmm. okay, we're done. Gloves are off.
Yeah. Okay.
It's that unpredictability that scares me about him, which is why I think he's going to make a very strong villain.
Gotcha. All right, that's good. What do you got, Billy?
No, I was just curious what you guys thought about the sequences with Finn and Rose, because I've heard a lot of people not like them, and I enjoyed the character of Rose.
And, Rose, to me, and you know, I like the character. I like the concept of the character. I like the actress. Mm-hmm. It took me a little bit to get used to her because she's so freaking adorable. She's really cute,
yeah.
Okay? And so to see her kind of like suddenly transition from the cute little engineer tech to now I'm flying in the final battle and I'm trying to be all badass and whatnot.
And then I'm going to save.
And I'm going to go save Finn.
I had a hard time
with that one. I did.
It was awkward.
And I think I see it. It's basically, I think Rose was, she's a foil to Finn now. Mm-hmm. Okay, to help him focus on, because he really was the reluctant hero, but now he's understanding his place in things a little bit better. And, you know, he trying to sacrifice himself at the end. He was willing to do that. And she stopped him. But the whole, like, there's a relationship blossoming between the two. Is that what you're being like?
I think that
component was thrown in to piss off the fangirls and fanboys who were trying to put together the Poe Dameron, Finn, and Rey love
triangle
over there.
Monk.
And Monk?
Monk. She very much feels that this movie torpedoed her uh-huh. ship.
Yes, it torpedoed her ship.
Yep.
And so I think that they did that intentionally to basically drive Fanny's the really just ballistic at that point.
I think she also had an important role in Finn's character arc.
Okay.
Which a lot of times really annoys me when mm-hmm. they have a character who's specifically just to move somebody else's character arc along
right.
without having one of their own. So that kind of annoyed me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But so you've got Finn, who was raised
As a stormtrooper,
who is still acting as a stormtrooper. He
right.
sees himself as disposable.
Uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I didn't. You know, I had not thought of that.
Yeah. He sees himself as disposable. Yeah. Why wouldn't he give his life? That's what stormtroopers do.
Right.
They have no personality. They have no will of their own. It's strictly for what can I do to further this along.
I hadn't even thought of that. That's good stuff. Thank you.
So her saving him in that way showed him that he had value.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree. I think it was, I think this was the movie's way of, okay, we're going to move Finn over here, which leaves everything open for Poe.
Right.
Which I think that's going to be the big romance.
When Poe and Rey meet each other mm-hmm. at the end of the movie, you forget that they actually have not physically met each other yet.
Yeah. They like passed each other
yeah.
in Force Awakens.
At the very end.
Yeah, but they didn't.
But
really,
they haven't met. And hi, I'm Poe. Oh, hi, I'm Ray. Yes, I know who you are. it's like, okay. Oh, that's right. They hadn't met yet. Okay. So.
Yeah. And it's funny. I'm looking at the trivia. It goes, it's not until the final scene of this film that the two main characters, Ray and Poe, share a scene. Notably,
uh-huh.
they have to introduce themselves.
Uh-huh.
That
so
they go through two whole movies
uh-huh.
where they're kind of main characters and they don't even meet each other until the last.
Should we talk about
movies.
Laura Dern? Admiral Vice Admiral Holdo, or
I just go back to like them smacking Poe.
Leah just
and
walking up and slapping
him.
Yeah,
but you know that was such like a Han Solo move.
Yes,
turning off the communicator.
And it was a
Luke Skywalker move too, because he trusts the Force and turns off his
mm-hmm.
whatever. And then what happens at the end? Finn does the same shit.
Yeah.
It's like, have they not learned their lesson?
Well, it worked out well in the other cases,
but
this showed, you know what? It's not always going to work out.
And that's like one of the main themes of this movie is failure.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, Yoda talks about it.
And
during his cameo, which, by the way, who expected that cameo?
And then smack Luke right in the middle of the forehead.
I loved that cameo.
It. Come on.
That was phenomenal. And you realize that in the afterlife, Yoda is even more of a sociopath.
Yes. Well, and he did what Luke was hesitant to do.
Right.
Luke was still like,
well, what
not
did the dead
willing
have to fear? You know? That's
Yoda's like, whatever. But, and that's the thing. It's like,
being a teacher myself, I'm like, in order to learn something, you have to fail at it first. And that's like the whole thing that Yoda was doing. And I mean, you have, if you do everything perfect the first time, you're never going to learn anything. You're never going to grow as a person.
Billy, what did you think of the Yoda cameo?
I enjoy it. You know, you throw any of the classic characters. Hey, it's Yoda. Hey, it's, you know.
Yeah. And it was Frank Oz.
Yes, exactly.
You could tell.
And it was a puppet.
It was a puppet instead of CGI, which made me so happy.
Yep.
Made me so happy for that.
And pissed off so many people.
Well, how could you get mad at that?
Oh, it was so cheesy. He looked so cheesy.
Oh, Jesus.
I heard that a lot.
Those are people who just don't understand. Nope. Don't understand. And I think that's... Sidetrack. Yay. What a surprise. I think the modern era of movie making... as heavily CGI, and CGI has brought us some wonderful visuals, Avatar and Avengers and all the, you know, all the great sci-fi movies that have come out in the past 15, 20 years. CGI has opened up a world of wonder, but it is also taking away from the practical. And I think people have set their bar so high that simple little things like that, well, that makes the whole, it's a terrible movie because of that one thing. Really? I had a guy at my office say that. Well, I was fine with the movie until that happened, and the whole thing was ruined for me. Really? Is that a thing?
I hate that we're never going to see movies like Dark Crystal or Labyrinth again.
Yeah.
Because those were amazing.
Well, how is Dark Crystal's coming out with a miniseries?
I don't know how. I think they're going back to puppetry.
I think they're going full back to puppetry, which I think would be a great... That's going to be a great nod to the way things ought to be in a lot of cases.
They do say things are cyclical and things come back. So maybe once we get to the very outreaches of technology, things will swing back to an older form.
But, you know, here's the thing.
And that'll look unique and fun and charming to people.
Well, when they started on the newest trilogy of Star Wars movies, you know, J.J. Abrams made it very clear that they're going to be... Yeah, there's going to be a lot of CGI, but we're going to do a lot towards practical effects again. And they've held to that for the most part. I'm wondering, though, is how far will that cycle take us out farther away before we come back to that sense of reality? We've already recreated dead actors in Rogue One with Peter Cushing's resurrection and the nod to younger Carrie Fisher.
Young Leia.
Are you familiar with the concept of the uncanny valley?
No.
I might not know the term. It's an old concept. It's been around for a while, and it's this idea of, it's why, like a movie like, say, Monsters, Inc. You're like, oh my God, it's so real, until you look at people. Like the monsters and all that, animals, we can accept that. But something that's really close to human, but not quite, really strikes a very negative
chord
in human beings. And it's something that's ever since, like, it's why in a lot of sci-fi androids or people are just like, it's because they're not quite.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the unrealistic. I've been binge watching Star Trek The Next Generation. I've been going through season 3 now. And it's funny, back in the 90s, some of that stuff is still as beautiful today and as revolutionary looking today.
Yeah.
As ever, but some of it looks like early Doctor Who now.
Yes.
And that throws me. And then I watched an episode of, what was the name of it? The Survivors, where they beam down the planet and there's two people left after a nuclear thing.
Okay.
And they filmed the initial scene of them beaming down on an actual Malibu beach at a beach house.
Oh, wow.
And you could tell the second they beam down, this is real. And then they go into the set.
Oh, geez.
And it was both at the same time interesting and striking and sort of...
disappointing?
Not disappointing, but just sort of jarring.
Okay. Jarring, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where I pointed out to Susan, they landed in a real spot and not a set.
Yeah.
And she goes, you're right.
That's cool.
Then they wound up inside and back on the Star Trek set again.
So Yoda puppet, I like it. Keep it. That's all I'm going to say to that.
Yep.
So we're going back to Laura Dern?
I'd like to go to Laura Dern for a little bit. I thought that was a very interesting character.
I loved her.
She was phenomenal.
I just love her putting Poe back into his place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like Commander. No, I think it's Captain.
Yeah.
I believe Leia demoted you.
Yeah. And the way that, you know, the interaction, the back and forth, the push and pull between the two of them throughout, you know, that section that she was in. And you can really tell from the outset, you're like, are we supposed to like her? And oh, she's a hard ass. Oh,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
Like, huh. Not sure.
But then you see the true colors, you know, purple. And you see the true colors, you know, towards the end with this character and what she's willing to do to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And that led to one of the more amazing moments in that movie, I think, with when she takes the cruiser into light speed and basically smashes into Snoke's ship, blows half the fleet to pieces in that one move.
Yep.
And I thought it was a phenomenal piece of movie making by virtue of the fact that
there was no sound.
The audio got, you know, and it was selected. Now, I heard that, like, a lot of people raged about that because they thought there was a fault in the action.
No, that was cool.
But no,
that was specific.
It was specific. Look at the video. Look at the visual of it. Look at the impact, the imagery, and know that there is really no sound in space anyway. You know,
in space, no one can hear
you scream. I think that's what Firefly always did best, is the space sequences never had really sound to them, unless there was something that you could relate to in that moment. But and I think with all the whooshing and the engines and the noises and the laser blasts and all that stuff, to have that moment be silent increased the impact by an order of magnitude. And just the FX department really went to the wall on that one because of the light and the energy and everything. It was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing to see that moment.
The one complaint I've heard about her, well, other than the usual woman in charge, she's a bitch thing, is, well, if she had just told Poe what her plans were, then none of this would have happened.
But he's not necessarily in need to know.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That was the whole point of that interaction was, Poe, you need to learn your place.
Right.
You need to understand. And I think he starts getting it towards the end when he's trying to call him off of the run on the battering ram.
Uh-huh.
When he's starting to realize that he has a bigger piece to play. He just can't jump in the cockpit and blow something up.
Yep.
You know,
except for when he's given permission to jump in
by Leia, permission to go jump in the cockpit and blow something up. Yes, go ahead, fine. You know, you could tell how exasperated Leia was with that too.
No, whatever.
She's like, I just lectured your ass on this, and now I have to say yes. Go ahead. Okay, fine.
It's like mom said no, mom said no, mom said no. Okay, go ahead.
Mom said yes.
Mom said type thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's like he's now, and it's like Leia's transferring her power
to Poe
towards the end,
right?
Because it's like, oh, the crystal creatures have gone somewhere.
Yeah.
It's got to be back this way. And
all right, follow me.
They look at Leah,
and she's like, "What are you? Well,
follow
look at
him.
Me. Follow him."
And that's the thing. It's like, because they've always looked to General Leia for this whole thing, and now it's going into a new generation of leaders.
Right.
And Poe has found his place, and he's upcoming.
Has he, though? Does he realize he's found it yet?
Who knows?
Okay. I don't think he realizes it yet.
I think it's going to be a very tough thing for him.
Yeah.
To not just
be the one to go jump in the cockpit. Because he's going to make decisions instead of...
That's going to be tough.
Well, we've all had it in one way or shape or form in our own way where we're really good at something, but then we're given something else and we're like, but I really want to be involved. I mean, I get it in my own way, you know, because I've had my own little niche, but now I'm like the vice president of the company, so now I have to start stepping back. And so there's a relating to it.
He wants to run 12 different panels convention weekend.
Yeah, well, there's that, and this, and that, and this, and the other thing, and still, and you know, so
you want to jump into the cockpit of
and go blow something up.
Chris with wants Katie Perry. To be Poe.
don't even start with that right now. She's got her hair buzzed and blonde right now. It doesn't look very good on her. Anyway, but now here's the thing. Now that we've touched on Laura Dern, and we can talk about that character for hours and hours and hours. But let's circle over to Leia real quick and how much we love and miss our princess.
We do. But can I tell you the thing that
bothered
me
the Mary Poppins
most?
Effect?
The floating in space.
Mm-hmm. She has never physically used the force
that you've seen.
Right.
I mean she's had the telekinetic link to Luke over the years.
Telepathic. It was just so odd to be...
They wanted to show that she has evolved and has embraced the fact that she's had this ability.
But still.
I'm just wondering, was that the right way to do it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I disagree with that a little bit. But also... okay, you know, this is going to be macabre, and I apologize because I really don't like it, but there you have it. We don't have a Carrie Fisher anymore. And, all right, okay, I see what they're going to do. Like, they blew, okay, they destroyed the ship, mm-hmm. and they killed all the senior, Admiral Akbar was killed off screen or whatever the case may be. So that's how they're going to deal with Carrie Fisher mm-hmm. coming back or not being able to come back. And then you know, Princess Leia had more to do in the movie. She mm-hmm. comes back. She goes into her coma. She comes back and she, you know, helps get Poe under wraps and does that whole, you know, tender scene with her brother at the end. Okay, great. But now,
what are you going to do?
How do you handle Star Wars 9?
Where it was going to be Leia's death.
It was going to be Leia's. It's going to be Leia's turn to be right. in the spotlight. And but you don't have a Carrie Fisher. You know, and my heart breaks because of why we don't have a Carrie Fisher. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sad because I think and what a dynamic and amazing woman she was. Right? How entertaining and how relatable she was to a lot of people. But here's the thing. We now have a big freaking hole. And how do you repair that? And I know we've talked about this in a previous podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you can just kill her off screen. I don't know if you can minimize that character after building it up so much, after bringing it, in essence, back from the dead in this movie, mm-hmm. in Last Jedi. But, you know, we're going to, here comes the armchair quarterback conversation that we've already had on a previous podcast. Do you recast the part? No. My opinion is yes.
No. I don't see how you can.
It's a difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing to do. And I think The Star Wars aspect, one of the charms of the series is always taking these younger, lesser known, up and coming actors, people who are no names, people you'd never heard of before, and giving them the chance to shine. I would almost think that if you're going to do it, you're going to have to bring in a full on A-lister to take the part over. You just can't bring in a nobody because nobody will accept that. Mm-hmm. I think. My
because
personal
you're living
opinion,
up to a legend.
My personal opinion is is if you want Leia's story to have its full, unadulterated arc in the face of the loss of Carrie Fisher, you can't do a clip show. You're not going to do a CGI resurrection because nobody will accept that.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're going to have to recast the part. And you're going to have to basically make it. The only person I would accept would be Helen Mirren or Judi Dench. And I'm sure there's probably probably a couple of better choices. I mean, we talked about it. We even went so far as to saying Stevie Nicks mm-hmm. because they have the same kind of gravelly voice. But, you know, but I think it would have to be somebody full on. And I see the grimace on your face, Sherry. I know you disagree with me. But how else would you resolve that? A flippant little throwaway scene at the beginning?
I'm glad that I'm not the one who has to make
it. Oh, I know. Seriously.
I feel bad for J.J. Abrams.
Oh, I know. Ryan Johnson and J.J. Abrams have their hands full. And again, you know, like I referred to, there's no way to make a perfect Star Wars movie. This is a no-win situation for mm-hmm. them. They're going to come up with the best possible solution. And a lot of people are going to be like, yeah, okay, I get it. No problem. We'll roll with it. But there's going to be nerd rage around the world, no matter what they pick. No matter what, they are in a no-win situation. And I feel bad about that. I really
do. Nerd rage is becoming a little bit of a problem.
It is. Nerd rage is becoming a little bit. Gamergate, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
The blowback against the Ghostbusters remake.
That was stupid. Because, you know what? I finally saw that movie, and I thought
it was
funny as hell.
Yeah,
I love
it. I mean, it was not like top 10 ever greatest movies, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But nerd rage is becoming a tangible cancer on the geek society.
We're raging against nerd rage.
There you go. I am, apparently.
Nerd rage versus nerd rage.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle From His Nap. I'm swear to God, that's going to be the subtitle of Star Wars 9. The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, From His Nap.
Yes, mm-hmm. You have said that numerous times.
I have said on several occasions, I'm sticking to my guns on that one.
Except for, I think From His Nap was actually another subtitle of this movie.
Was it?
Because Luke was napping in regards to his place with the Force type thing.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, just going back to like the interactions with Luke and Rey
mm-hmm.
on Octo, and it's like, reach out with the Force.
Yeah, and she reaches out with her hand.
Do you feel it? Yes.
And he started messing with her.
I feel
messing with her.
I feel
that was beautiful.
Whack. Ow!
That was
like, it's like,
and then she goes, oh, you meant reach? And she goes, yeah.
Yes, yes. With my feelings. Oh, okay. I'm done.
I just absolutely loved the whole, we waited so long for that.
Oh, and he throws.
We waited for 2 years to see what he was going to do with the offered lightsaber, and he throws it over his shoulder.
That was awesome.
Loved that.
That was my She's favorite like, moment in the entire
really?
Movie.
Yeah.
And you could just see the confusion. Like, really? He just did that? That piece of technology and uh-huh. that sacred laser sword? Because it's got mentioned.
Yeah, they call it a laser sword at one point.
Yeah.
Luke says it.
Let's start wrapping up by giving a nod. I'm sure we're going to be talking about this movie on several occasions, but Benicio del Toro and his minor role as the code breaker. And it leads to another conversation that I want to have down the road, because my son is watching this movie, Last Jedi, with me, and he thinks the code breaker was hilarious. I said, you know, he was also in Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. What? He was the collector. No. And he was this guy. Really? And so I start going through, and then I start talking about Gary Oldman, who mm-hmm. is one of the greatest actors of our generation, in my opinion. Complete unhinged, but greatest guy. And because we see the trailer for the Churchill movie he's in. I'm like, well, that's Sirius Black, and that's this guy, and that's this. And I'm layering out all the parts that
it's
Ian
Sid
has
Vicious
seen.
In Commissioner Gordon.
Exactly.
Rosencrantz.
And to see, to watch Maybe. The younger generation look at an actor and realize how an actor's profession how they're so good at what they do that they morph into these people, these other people, and lose themselves into that character and become other people. And Benicio del Toro did the same thing. I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time, Usual Suspects, and he's in that. And then he, you know, but then you see him in a ton of different other things, doing a ton of different other, you know, other characters and other personalities and whatnot. It's so cool to see. So we will be talking about all that down the road. We are running out of time on this particular podcast.
Oh, we'll have to pick up another time.
We're going to have to pick up another time. I'm sure there's going to be
because there's still more.
Oh,
that
there's
we can
so
talk
much
about.
More to talk about.
Just
but the bottom line is this:
foreshadowing throughout.
Oh, exactly. Oh, that alone is a podcast. The foreshadowing, and then we're going to armchair quarterback what we think Star Wars 9 is going to be all about. So you know that's all going to happen, and we want to hear from you, our Patreons, our fans, our listeners, and Danny in England, and Dolly at home, and everybody else in between. So for the gang, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. This has been Monkey Business for another week. For Billy, for Tanya, for Sherry, and myself, I am Chris. We are a production of the Mighty Monkey Corporation, the purveyors and producers of the Flower City Comic Con. Coming at you June 9th and 10th of 2018 at the Floriano Rochester Riverside Convention Center. Love us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/FC3ROC, and we will see you next week. Have a great one, everybody.